Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is a show where we just say good morning.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Not that stuff. Welcome, everybody, to Inside Petaluma, right here on KPCA. And if you're streaming, you're at kpca.fm. I'm Cindy Thomas, and I co-host this show every Friday morning from 11 to noon with Jason Davies and Janice Peter Thompson. And today, Joan Cooper is with us as well. Good morning, Joan.
Hello.
Okay, hey, Joan. Identify the voice. That was Joan.
Hi, Joan.
Hi.
That was Janice.
Hello.
Jason.
And Cindy.
Yay. Okay, so here we are, another Friday. Did everybody find a place to park their boat outside?
My boat's on high ground. You mean the chicken hooker?
Yeah. It was kind of scary out there yesterday.
Yeah, our fence went down.
Oh, did it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Over. I propped it back up, but it's going to be
Are your insurance company?
Redo.
Your insurance company will cover it.
It's a homeowners association situation.
Oh.
So I think I'm going to share the cost with our neighbor. But,
that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. But I just propped it up sort of intermittently. We'll see if it stays.
Nice. It's good news.
Yeah. Hey, people can have much worse issues, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's had some pretty scary storms out there.
Well, so how was everybody's Valentine's Day?
I worked last night.
You did?
Yes, I have a show here on Thursday night.
That's
true. It's called Let's Jam.
Yeah.
So I was here from 7 to 9 last night.
Well, Jerry and I went to the Vagina Monologues. It was his first experience talking about, vaginas for an hour and a half.
And on Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day. It couldn't have been, a more perfect subject. And it was really good. And it was at the, where was that? It was at the, Old Kavanaugh Center,
mm-hmm.
And they had in one room, it was for Spanish speaking, and in the large room, it was for, English speaking, so they had two monologues going on at the same time, and they had a beautiful, spread of food and stuff, so that was great, and then they had a raffle, and I don't know if I've won the raffle yet, because I always like to buy raffle tickets and never win, but I won at the last crab feed, a bottle of wine and a blanket that my dog has fallen in love with.
Nice.
So it was really good, but what was really listening to women's stories is something very important. Abuse goes on all the time, and each woman talked about a different experience. But at the end, a woman was honored. She was in human trafficking as a young 16-year-old. And she went to San Francisco and had to perform sex with, because she had a John that was taking care of her. She has been in and out of jail. She has a son that was taken away from her. She has now graduated, I believe, from Santa Rosa Junior College. She's going to be going to Sonoma State, get a sociology degree. She wants to be work with other people to prevent this from happening. But the great news is Governor Brown pardoned her before he left office. So she doesn't have a record, and she wants to be a parole officer. And so now she has her opportunity. And she lives in Santa Rosa, and it was just a real honor to hear at the end. It's not just a success rate, but just that the governor recognized how important it is, and which we should all recognize when people are incarcerated and they make positive changes, that they should not have that record carried with them for the rest of their lives.
Right.
So it was
a happy ending.
It was a happy ending, and it was really good, and I encourage people to go.
Well, and I just want to point out, Vagina Monologues, it sounds like a nasty thing to maybe some people, but this was a production that was created by Eve Ensler many years ago, and it's a group of women coming together and reading monologues, and they're fun. They're fun. Some of them are a little sad, but for the most part, they're fun, and it's a great show, and if you ever have the opportunity to go and see it, you should go and see it. I read in the Petaluma production of Vagina Monologues for many years, so it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Yeah. So, Jason, what did you do for Valentine's Day?
I didn't see the Vagina Monologues. I went out with my wife to dinner at Pongo's.
Oh, I love
which,
Pongo's.
Yeah, I'd only been there once before, and it was last year on Valentine's Day, and it worked out, and we liked it. There was a guitarist that was playing. His name is Alec Furman. He plays a classical guitar, and he fuses sort of flamenco stylings with pop songs. So you'll be listening, it's like, wait a minute, what is that song? Oh, he's doing Kashmir from Led Zeppelin, or Taylor Swift's song, or, you know, all of these pop songs, and he does it all with acoustic guitar, and he has a little looper pedal. So that was a lot of fun. It was just me and my wife, and left the kids at home, and yeah, it was a mellow evening. And I recommend the restaurant, too, if you haven't been there.
Pongo's, I just went there for soup, and the bass was so amazing. Mm. I came home and tried to replicate it. And I did pretty good, but not 100%, so I'm going to go there and actually ask what their secret is, because I'm missing something. But it's a very good restaurant.
Yeah, it's nice, and yeah. I have to go there more than once a year.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But for Valentine's Day, it was great. There was no line. We got right in, had... it was decorated with little hearts and things, and then we had a nice little dessert, and the food was great, and the entertainment was excellent.
There was some things there.
And I didn't make a reservation. It was a last-minute thing, like, yeah. Honey, what are we doing tonight? let's see what we did last year. That worked out.
Yeah, so they do karaoke there, too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Huh. I usually go
I'm not a big
either.
Fan of that, but at Pongo's, it's fun.
Karaoke's pretty fun.
It's pretty fun.
Just as long as I'm not the one up on the stage.
I was briefly going to mention, because you were talking about the Vagina Monologues, and you were talking about the plight of sex workers and things. There's this was in the news recently, that Senator Wiener to, it's a different Wiener, it's not the,
bad the Wiener.
Well, whatever. Anyway,
bad Wiener, good Wiener.
To introduce the California bill protecting victimized sex workers, because obviously this is, you know, when you criminalize this stuff, you know, how do they get help? You know, because a lot of these women are obviously in very dangerous situations, and they don't feel that they can come to the police because of what they're doing is criminalized. So, you know, he doesn't take a position for or against the activity, but simply taking a practical position that a lot of countries are starting to take, and that is to at least protect the workers that are involved. So,
yeah. Well, actually, there's going to be something at Sonoma State on March 26th at 6:30. It's from Broken to Redeemed, Human Trafficking Awareness Dance, featuring Montgomery High School dancers. And they're going to be, this is what's going to be talked about. We will be selling bracelets to fundraise for the nonprofit housing for human trafficking victims in Sonoma County. And so that's on March 26th, 6:30 at Sonoma State University. I think it's worth going to, so we can post this on our site. There you go, Cindy.
Okay, I think Jason is the site poster.
Great.
Yes, you can
send
it to me.
I'm passing it to Jason now.
Thank you.
All right. All right.
So what did you do for Valentine's Day?
I was home alone with my little dog who broke his hocks, which is his ankle.
Oh,
so we're taking care of that. And my husband was in San Diego working for the UC San Diego Design Review Board. So I had a date on the phone with my girlfriend of, oh my gosh, 69 years.
Oh.
And she was wishing me happy Galentine's.
Oh, that's
nice. Galentine's is a new thing, and it's for good
cool.
women friends. So we had a phone visit. She's in New Jersey.
That's sweet.
It's fun.
Yeah. Very nice.
So, Joan, on that note, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do in the community?
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm one of the founding people of Friends of Schoenberger, and we were formed in January of 2009. So we've been at it for 10 years, and our mission is to preserve and protect Schoenberger Park. And the issue that we formed around was the proposed Dutra Asphalt Factory, which was proposed for the riverbanks across from Schoenberger. It's been an odyssey. We have tried to rally the community to get the supervisors to vote no. We lost 3-2 with the deciding vote Efren Carrillo of infamous Ethan Curry.
Yeah. And the guy who was peeping.
The peeper.
Yeah.
He was
the question still remains.
Alleged peeper. But in any case.
Well, I think he admitted it, right?
Yeah.
It was alleged.
Right. He did. Well, any case, that's old history, ancient history. Yeah. So we've been at it so long, we've had broad support from every part of the political spectrum because everyone loves Schollenberger Park. We, the young people, the old people, the sick people, the athletes, the dog walkers.
Birders, lots of
And, of course, the birders. And Petaluma Wetlands Alliance has supported Friends of Schollenberger's efforts to stop the asphalt factory. So the city of Petaluma voted unanimously to disapprove of it, but because the land is in the county's jurisdiction, the county voted yes. So ancient history, which a lot of new residents in Petaluma know nothing about. There's been a huge influx of young families and also retirees to Petaluma. And I have been privileged to meet these new residents because I am a grandma. And I spend a lot of time sitting in McNair Park or different parks and playgrounds chatting with these people. And I, of course, lead the discussion to where is your house located? And unfortunately, a lot of them are like, we're in McNair Landing, we're in Quarry Heights. Yep. And then I say, well, do you know about the fact that there could be an asphalt factory within a quarter mile of your residence? And the dismay appears on their face because they have moved here for a healthy place to bring up their children.
And the interesting thing is Quarry Heights was the old quarry that was owned by Dutra, correct?
Yes, they owned it briefly. I think it was the Heinz Quarry before that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they sold that to housing development.
Right.
And then with that money bought the land.
Well, they have deep pockets, so they didn't need that money. But, you know, they're a privately held corporation, primarily in the dredging business. And, you know, our motto has always been wrong plant, wrong place. This is not, we're not against asphalt, but we just don't think it's the right place for, you know, asphalt production is considered one of the three dirtiest industrial operations. Right up there with oil refineries and landfills and tanneries. It's like the worst. And the EPA guidelines state that they shouldn't be closer than 2 miles to residences and schools and hospitals. So, you know, this is the wrong plant in the wrong place, and we'll fight forever to preserve and protect Schollenberger Park.
Well, plus, it's right at the gateway. It would be like a welcome mat. For Petaluma, that's not so welcoming.
Unfortunately, the gateway is owned by the county, and you know, and they're approving building that is not beautiful for the gateway.
Yeah.
You know, it would be nice if it was a true gateway.
Well,
a welcoming gateway.
Yeah. Schollenberger Park, you know, is the most popular city park. It has, last time they counted, 150,000 visits a year. It's on the major flyway, you know, hundreds of species pass by. It's on the National Geographic website as a place to visit. It's a jewel.
Isn't it one of the largest contiguous wetlands?
It's the largest, they call it a high elevation, I don't know why, saltwater marsh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most intact one in the entire United States. So it's a very special place, and you know, it shouldn't have an asphalt factory 150 feet from its walking path. This is why we have to raise money, because when you're trying to preserve and protect an ecosystem, the potential polluter, you know, they have extremely deep pockets.
Yeah.
And they play the long game, and they expect the community to wear out. And I think they picked the wrong community, because Petaluma just doesn't want this.
Yeah,
and
you got that right.
When I announced that, you know, it's time to raise money again, you know, it's been 4 years since we had an all-out fundraiser, which we call Shindigs. And I thought, gee, it's been 4 years. You know, people may say, well, you know, moved on to other things. No, I have people saying, can I donate something for the silent auction? Can I help? Can I come? Mm-hmm. And it's really because of the magic of Schoenberger.
Mm-hmm.
The artists, you know, always want to give us art because they paint out there. And mm-hmm. the health clubs, their you know, business is exercise and health. So
yeah.
It's been a wonderful experience getting ready for this next fundraiser, just touching base with our community. And so I want to invite everybody who's listening to come to the Shindig, which will be Monday, February 25th, 5 to 8:30 p.m. And it's $20 donation to get in. And for that, you will get to meet and greet the environmental networks of Petaluma. Plus, you'll get 2 glasses of wine.
Oh, that's important.
Well, that's the most important. What do they get?
And or beer, or non-alcoholic. We'll have water, and we'll have wonderful music. And so I wanted to give a plug to our donors, because Klein Cellars, which is Green String, it's the family that owns. They are providing all the wine that we are pouring.
Nice. Wow.
And, you know, they are a biodynamic vineyard, and we tested a bottle.
An excellent wine, by the way.
Kay Chandler, my co-chair, and I said, let's drink bottle. So Farmhouse Red and Farmhouse White, we're pouring, and they're incredibly generous to do that.
Nice.
And then the music. Jason is our MC, and he will be liaison with the music. And the first act is the Benedettiville, which is a children's music and puppets, mm-hmm. because we really want to invite the young families who come to Petaluma to come to this event, learn about how to protect this ecosystem, and meet, you know, we need to pass the torch to the young people, and they want to do it. So they have kids, so they can come, and we'll have this little show for them.
Yeah, and that's with Gio Benedetti, who, by the way, is a programmer here mm-hmm. and has a show on KPCA called Benedettiville.
Yeah.
So just so you know that.
Oh, this is wonderful. Well, this is your chance. You know, kids are free, but, you know, parents have to donate.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so after that, we'll have Gabby Lala, electric sitarist and ukulele player, and she's played before. Happens to be my daughter. She always says yes, and she'll be doing her new songs solo. And after that, we have a great bluegrass group to really, we can cut a rug if you can find a little space. I hope it'll be packed. But
so is this all going to be inside?
The Hill Williams, the Hill Williams group, and they're local. So everything is local.
Nice.
And our wine is local, our music is local. And, of course, we've got to plug Riverfront Cafe, where it's all happening.
This is the former Apple Box.
Right. And the owner is really interested in what's going on in terms of the politics of the town and the development of the town. And he's a lovely person. And he's opening up his restaurant for us and providing appetizers. And then the kitchen will be open for people who want to buy dinner.
Right. Okay, well, when is this?
It is Monday, February 25th, 5 to 8:30 p.m., Riverfront Cafe.
Okay.
And how do you get tickets?
You can get tickets by going to saveschoenberger.com and charging them. You can go to the Mail Depot with cash and buy tickets from Mo.
That's what we do.
I
got my tickets.
Yeah, because, you know, capacity is 100. So, you know, it could be a good idea to get your ticket now.
Yeah, so everybody get down there and see Maureen down at Petaluma Mail Depot. Get your tickets.
Or buy online from Save Schoenberger Park.
Well, go in and say hi to Mo.
Yeah, that's
what we do.
Yeah.
Either way you do it, get a ticket.
That's right.
There will be a brief update by David Keller of the Petaluma River Council and also Friends of Schoenberger to about the status of where are we at with preserving, protecting.
Can you give us a little bit of overview on that, or do we have to wait to hear from David?
You need to come and buy a ticket.
Probably a good idea.
I can give you the two sentence summary. And what is people say, oh, well, you lost. Unfortunately, isn't that a dead issue? And, you know, you lost at the Superior Court. You lost at the Appeal Court. You lost, right? And my answer is, I don't see an asphalt factory out there yet, do you? So where we're at is Dutra Materials has to get federal Clean Water Act permits in order to build. And they have been rejected twice by the Water Resource Control Board, which has the federal authority to approve or not. And they have been rejected because, according to them, asphalt is not a water-dependent activity and does not need to be near the water and therefore pollute the water and the wetlands. So that's two victories for us, and the reason we support this whole application process by hiring our attorneys who are clean water experts as well as ecologists, and this costs money, and they send in voluminous reasons why that shouldn't be approved, and that supports the Water Resource Board, who also doesn't think it should be approved. So that's why we've run out of money. Mm-hmm. We got to raise more money because Dutra will be back, and we will continue. As long as the Clean Water Act stands, I don't think we'll have an asphalt factory.
Okay. Hope not. Great. Thanks for that. And Everybody get out there and get a ticket.
Yeah. Exactly.
Capacity is 100.
Yeah, but, you know, people will come and go. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping we can sell, like, 200 tickets, because the kids will come.
The kids will come earlier and then they'll leave with families.
Yeah. Thank you so much for letting the community know about this.
Okay,
thanks for coming.
And you're going to stay in the...
You may as well stay
with us. You want to share in the conversation? Or
thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
Share or just listen.
We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. You live here in Petaluma. You can weigh in on a lot of these things that we're going to talk about.
Only 32 years.
Only 32?
I had my business BioBottoms here for 8 years before that.
Yeah.
So, but I'm a newbie.
What was BioBottoms again? Was it clothing?
BioBottoms.
I remember BioBottoms.
I do too.
I had kids in that age group.
Yes. Well,
shopping there.
Yeah, when we used to have a shop in town, but we were primarily a mail order business selling natural fiber clothing for babies and children, and we were the natural diapering people. So they've always been environmental, and the idea was to make cloth diapering easier than paper. And so if you go around town and you ask grown-ups now who are like 25 to 39, a lot of those adults wore BioBottoms.
Wow.
We diapered the town, and they also wore our natural fiber clothing.
I have to say, I like the natural fiber clothing, and I did try diapers, and it did not work for me at all. And, you know, today I kind of cringe thinking, oh, my God, you know, I really should have tried, you know, using cloth diapers longer. But I just could not. And so now I'm really trying to change my ways at home for other things. But I think of all those diapers, and I feel bad about all the diapers that are in the landfill.
You're saying for your kids,
for my kids.
Yeah.
You know, I tried it. I have my one daughter. I'm trying to use a pin, and it's like, oh, my God.
But see, that's my BioBottoms.
I know.
We were the Cadillac. We were kind of expensive. We at those days, you know, I think we were like $8.50 a woolen diaper cover, which is a lot of money at that time. But Velcro, no pins. We used to sell to, we had blind parents who would write to us and say, arthritic, you know, how my grandparents couldn't do those pins.
Yeah.
So anyway, and my business partner who has passed away, Anita Dimenstein, she was a force to be reckoned with.
She was a good woman. Yes.
So you said you've been here 32 years. Where were you before that, Joan?
San Francisco, but born in Brooklyn.
Oh.
Yeah, born in Brooklyn.
New York.
Which is very trendy now.
Oh, exactly. That's right.
How old were you when you came to California?
The first time I came, I was 21.
Oh.
And then I came back at 23, and then
to be a hippie in San Francisco?
I was a hippie, but I was late. Yeah. I was like, where did they all go? I got to the hate.
Here I am.
I graduated from college December of 68.
Oh, so you missed the summer of love.
I missed, and then I moved out here that summer, and it's like, they were gone.
Yeah.
But no one told me. They were just in Marin.
Yeah, they were at Rancho Olentangy in Nevada. That's where I was.
Oh, were you
I
there?
I lived in Nevada, yeah.
They used to come up in the van up to Cater Farms, and they would want to barter bread for eggs. And, of course, you know, my dad was, you know, he was very particular in what he ate. And so they would barter, and, you know, they would do the exchange, but we would never eat the bread because it was, like, according to my dad, like, as hard as rock. And way too much, you know, health in there. So, yeah, you guys used to come up in the van.
Yeah, I didn't come up in the van. I snuck out of my house at nighttime and killed all the plants below my window to where my dad nailed the window shut. But that's what we did was we snuck out at night and
I never did that.
Went over to the rancho. And I'm sorry, Mom, if you're listening. But, that's why I'm a Grateful Dead fan. I've been a Dead fan forever just because of that.
Well, then we had Synanon.
Oh,
which was out at the coast. And Synanon, they used to come to the ranch also and wanted to barter.
Yeah.
Yeah, for eggs in exchange for other items that they would have.
Yeah.
And in Windsor, they were producing Orange Sunshine LSD.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Who was?
This was in the paper a while back. I'd have to go look it up again.
You mean recently they started doing that?
No. This was back in the 60s.
Yeah. People
didn't know where it was coming from, though. Yeah. It was a secret lab in Windsor, apparently.
Huh.
And this was just recently disclosed. It was in the paper because the person died.
Yes.
Who was the big maker of that stuff.
Oh, my God. There was so much stuff.
So there was a lot of stuff going on.
There was a lot of drugs in Sonoma County.
Yeah. Orange Sunshine, Purple Microdot, and then the Truckin' Guy blotter that Owsley Stanley put out. And oh, yeah, I remember all that. Kinda.
Well, you know what they say, if you remember the 60s, you weren't in the 60s.
That's true. Oh, God. Well, my mom and dad used to went down to San Francisco just to walk the hate, mm-hmm. you know, when the, quote, hippies were down there. And, you know, they come back and say, oh, there were just these young people. They were so nice. And, you know, they just walk around like it was just safe as could be, which it was.
Well, now it's very touristic.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Go there, and there's lots of people visiting, looking for hippies and memorabilia.
Uh-huh.
Lots of tie-dye shops.
Yeah,
right.
I went there with my daughter recently, and it was interesting.
Uh-huh.
It's just not the same anymore.
Yeah.
Very gentrified.
Well, it's just like we were talking about gentrification. Like Oakland is now gentrified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything is really changing in our areas.
Yeah, we're going to have another Starbucks right down the street.
And, you know, they were talking about how do we do affordable housing when everything is gentrifying? How can people afford to live in our area?
Wow.
You know, there's the pros and the cons.
I think we should go back to communes.
Maybe we can get redevelopment funds.
Let's go right into redevelopment funds. We can talk about that one. What's in the paper?
Yeah, that was.
So the city is once again going. Now they're taking this to the Supreme Court to try and get the redevelopment funds back that Governor Brown rescinded because the state was in such a financial deficit, and now the city has decided that they want to take. This to the Supreme Court to fight to get back our redevelopment funds. And I have real problems with this, not because they presented it at the council meeting as for low-income housing, but it's really so they can jumpstart Rainier. And that's really doesn't have anything to do with redevelopment funds because redevelopment should be redeveloping a community. It was really about blighted areas. And a blighted area is, you know, a place that you don't want to go. It's dangerous. It's broken down. You want to redevelop that. And that's kind of what happened with the downtown. We wanted to redevelop the downtown. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of redevelopment money was used for that.
Yeah, the theater district couldn't have been built without redevelopment funds.
Well, it could have been, but it wasn't because a lot of developers use that to a benefit. And one of the developers actually got $10 million of our redevelopment monies. Which
did you say who?
No.
Okay.
Well, it's a construction. It's a construction money. It was actually, I believe it was North Bay Construction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so $10 million. And then what happened with the redevelopment area is that they failed to put ADA in. So it was not up to ADA standards. So now the city has had to go back and backfill, and that's why you see all the new curb cuts down in the redevelopment area. And, you know, and then the sidewalks are very high, and that's so the streets can flood because, as we know, the more upstream development, the more flooding we'll probably have downtown. And so that's why the streets are actually high. And it's really difficult for people with disabilities and people without disabilities to actually maneuver around that area. I'm really glad it's redeveloped. It needed to be. My only thing that I would have liked to have seen is maybe two more stories on those buildings. But one of the other things that happened when the redevelopment was going on is that they made a deal that East Petaluma could not have a movie theater. We could only have one movie theater in Petaluma. So I had some...
How did that happen?
Well, you know how that happened, because they had a majority on a council, and Basin Street did not want to have
competition.
Right. And so they had it written in the documents that East Petaluma cannot have a theater district. And then I go back to the Deer Creek site. God, what a great site. Or even where the Safeway is, we could have put a theater back in that shopping center, or had a theater in the Deer Creek and actually have made that into a community, which I talked about before. So I have problems with redevelopment because it's really about blighted areas, and Rainier is not about blighted areas. Or it could be for low-income housing, which we need.
But Deer Creek wasn't blighted, so how could you use... funds for that, because it was actually nothing.
No, they really cannot use it for blight. And I think that this is the third time the council is taking this legal challenge. Now they're going to the Supreme Court because they've lost twice. I'd like to know how much they've spent on the legal at this point. And I just don't think that they're going to win. But it seems as though with our new council, that they're going in a direction that I'm kind of surprised at, actually.
And to clarify, that's the California Supreme Court. I mean, it could go to the U.S.,
but it's the California Supreme Court.
Right.
And I'm sure that, you know, some people on the council would like their names associated with this also.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not really...
But one thing, last time I was here, you schooled me on the fact that the location of the Rainier makes it ineligible for
state federal funds.
Right. So that's why it's so expensive for the town to even contemplate this.
Yep.
So this whole, you know, domino thing is like, if they change the location, then we, the Petaluman taxpayers or whatever, wouldn't have to foot this whole bill.
Well, if you go back and you look at Corona Road, which David Rabbit, our supervisor, and I have had quite debates about Corona Road, if that was redone in 1970s, about 1974-5, I believe that was redone.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had put money into Corona, rebuilding that to make it a viable crosstown connector, because it already exists, you would have gotten state and federal funds. This is according to Caltrans. It exists. And where it's a regional road, it takes you someplace.
That's what I didn't even know about this. Being a regional road
makes the difference. And so, but with Rainier, and especially after we've had disasters, we want to make sure our regional roads are safe, that we can move people if we have to. And with Rainier, all you're doing is moving them from one area to another, and they're not going to a safe zone if you need to be in a safety area. I'm talking about the fires.
Yeah.
People didn't have a lot of ways in and out.
So,
and regional
roads
are important.
The value of Rainier has to be challenged. Like, everybody gets on the bandwagon for some reason. Local politicians like, we will build Rainier.
We will build the wall. Mexico pays for the wall. Who pays for Rainier? Oh, let's see. The state pays for it, and we know that we're the ones paying for Rainier. It's just a Trumpian
bait and switch.
It's a bait and switch, exactly.
But I'm confused about one thing, because you mentioned that Corona could qualify for state funding.
That's correct.
Didn't David Rabbit say that that's not?
David Rabbit is saying that's not true, but he's absolutely incorrect.
Okay.
Because it is a regional road, and if you wanted to do it, it would be done.
I see.
But they don't want to do this, And there's a lot of political reasons why they don't want to. And the bottom line is, you want now the public to have to pay for Rainier when you could do a project that would get state and federal funds. This is all documented in old documents from Caltrans saying, why don't you do Corona instead of Rainier?
Well, I remember hearing Dave King talking about how he's supporting multiple connectors. And he was talking about Caulfield as well as Rainier. He didn't mention Corona. I don't recall. Maybe
they never mentioned Corona.
But I thought that was interesting because my understanding is that we can't afford to do both. We can barely afford to do Rainier, and most of the money is getting earmarked for Rainier that could have gone to Caulfield.
Well, the city took a $14 million J.P. Morgan loan out and paid 4.75% on
this.
They were paying up to $40,000 a month to
right.
pay this loan off. So that was the jump start to raise the freeway. So the city is also already paying to raise the freeway when we Measure M, which was the freeway funding mechanism, not the parks one.
Yeah.
That should have been part of the 101 widening.
Right.
But for some reason, in other cities like Roanoke Parks and Santa Rosa, they get money for overcrossings when Petaluma doesn't. And it's really a lack of representation is what it comes down to.
But my point is just how realistic is it that we could afford two connectors?
Well, you can't.
We can barely afford one.
We can't. And the interesting thing about the Caulfield is that, again, Basin Street proposed a project. And if you go down there where this project is, the riverfront, which is on hold, and they have a 5-year reprieve not to have increases in their fees because nobody wants to build in the area because it's a bad location. It's, if there's an earthquake, goodness knows what's going to happen down there because it's all still in that liquefaction down there. You have a homeless shelter. You have a wastewater pumping station down there. You still have the old wastewater tanks down there.
Sounds like a really nice place
to live. It sounds like a great place to want to live.
It's not far from the asphalt plant either.
Well, that's true. it's very close, actually. Yeah. And the interesting thing is they go ahead and design this roadway that kind of prohibits great traffic flow with Caulfield to the East Petaluma.
Right. There's no straight shot.
There's no straight shot across. And I was talking to somebody actually at the newspaper, and I said, don't you think you would put your grids in, your street grids in first, and then the developer builds around that? Oh, no, we don't do it that way. The developer tells us where our roads are going to be.
Of course they do.
And so here we go. This is why we do not have good transportation and traffic flow in our community. And I always go back to D Street. The city spends money to put in sidewalks, but they could have buried the underground wires. They could have widened that with an extra lane so traffic flows. And that's what the most important thing is for traffic flowing. So in Petaluma, what do we have? Everybody's saying about climate change, but nobody cares that we are in complete gridlock with cars on Lakeville, D Street, Petaluma Boulevard. At this point, Washington looks like it's flowing the best out of all of those intersections.
Well,
and
I hate to say this. I'm really glad that we have the SMART train, but it has created a traffic nightmare at East Washington and at D Street.
Yes, it has.
It's horrible.
I've been caught for 9 minutes.
People have no options. There's no options.
Caulfield is an option.
Caulfield is an option.
That's
but
right.
Well, that's because the SMART train is in its early days. I look at those train crossings. And I grew up on Long Island. We have the Long Island Railroad. And I was a kid when it was on grade. They were not raised. And several people, in fact, a well-loved doctor, was killed, hit by a train crossing, running to a call. And so over the years, the entire Long Island Railroad in Nassau County is raised.
Right.
And, eventually SMART train will be raised. And traffic will flow under. It's
sure
very
will,
dangerous
I will be 6 feet
situation
under before that ever happens.
But it will happen because this is—it's like a rural crossing in the middle of a town. You can't have it on grade like that.
And when we're talking about that, when we talk about traffic safety, I always talk about those crossings. Corona is a great example. They're building all this development down at Corona, and yet the rail crossing was not widened for pedestrians or bicycles. And yet you talk to a council member, they're saying, well, that's too bad. There's nothing we can do about it. And these are people that I supported, which I'm shocked at, some of the comments that come out of these people's mouths.
Wait till, unfortunately, there are some terrible accidents,
well,
and they'll change their
opinion. They'll put their hands up and say, it's not my responsibility.
Yeah.
That's why people are elected, to look out for the safety of the community.
Well, to anticipate, not react.
That's right, exactly. Yeah.
Planning.
So, yeah.
Well, it goes back to planning.
Let me tell folks what they're listening to.
Okay.
Okay. You are, it's like 40 minutes, and people are going, what the hell am I listening to? Well, you are listening to Inside Petaluma here on KPCA 103.3 FM, Petaluma's homegrown radio station. I'm Cindy Thomas, and here with me are my co-hosts, Jason Davies and Janice Cater Thompson. That's a lot of
J's.
And then there's another J here with us today.
Yes.
Joan Cooper is here with us as well as our
triumph of J's.
Yeah.
I want to go over just one thing real quick, if you don't mind, about Corona and the roundabout on Sonoma Mountain Parkway. When the Brody Ranch was designed, they brought the housing right up to the roundabout. Mm-hmm. And I believe that this was done on purpose. And because they want to make sure that trucks don't go in this area. So Rainier, they're trying to make Rainier, the 18-wheelers are going to go up and down Rainier now, or Washington Street. And this was done on purpose because I actually asked the question kind of why this happened, and I did not get a very good answer from an elected official. It was very disturbing.
Yeah.
There was no answer, as a matter of fact. And it was like, yeah, it's just fine the way it is. Well, it's really not fine the way it is because Corona Road from Adobe Road, big trucks come that direction.
Yeah.
It's rural areas. And so the city is choking themselves off because they're not thinking of the bigger picture. And we cannot pretend that we're just about Petaluma. We need to look at the entire county and how traffic flows. And this is a political reason why this is happening. It has nothing to do with traffic, because every time you turn around in this city, I can point to all these different traffic solutions, and the city hasn't done any of the solutions. The last solution they did was Washington McDowell and the northbound on-ramp. That was the last thing that really has made the biggest difference in this town, because the council, I don't think, has anybody that really cares about traffic flow. And that's why I elect people to really look at the bigger picture, and it's not just about Petaluma, it's how traffic flows in and out of an area.
Yeah.
So it's...
Well, we got to start with the new electeds that we have now, so...
The roundabout, or the traffic circle you're talking about, that was put in many years before this housing project.
That's right.
And didn't they have to do some kind of zoning change or something to that property to be able to subdivide it? Because it was a single property with cattle, as I recall.
Well, it was a ranch at one time, and so they had to change the zoning.
Yeah.
And there's actually some floodplain on that property also.
So the reason I'm mentioning that is I'm just wondering if that had even been part of their decision making when they made that traffic circle. Were they anticipating housing?
How we knew housing was going to be there, but the city.
How would they know if the property owner hadn't sold the property yet?
Because you have a general plan, and the general plan shows you.
Wouldn't it be up to that individual to sell their property to be used and subdivided?
No,
I just wonder how they knew.
People, you sell the property to a developer. The developer brings the project to the city, so they're just selling it. But the developer brings the project.
But I mean, my point is that was already envisioned that there'd be housing there when that traffic circle was put in.
I knew that when I was on the council.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually, the property north of the Brody property can be brought into. It's part of the sphere of influence, and it can be actually brought in for development. You have to make, I'm not sure if you have to do a general plan change, but it's already there for that to happen.
Because if they knew that was going to be there, it seems like that should have been taken into account into the
and
developing size of that traffic circle.
Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. And sometimes, I don't really believe that, I'm not really sure who's directing everything. I think it's developers.
I mean, it almost seems like they developed it based on what the current needs were at the time, and there was no big housing development.
Whose needs?
Well, for traffic flow.
Okay.
So I'm saying, so...
You need to go out there and look at the property to really
understand. I've been there.
I lived there before.
I lived there when the traffic circle was created.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the Brody Ranch property. You need to go take a look
at that. On the east side.
Yeah.
Off of Maria.
No, on Corona.
Corona Parkway. It's still around Parkway.
I mean, I lived on, off of Dandelion. I know the area.
I know.
Well, my point is that when I lived there, the traffic circle, I remember when they put that in.
Right.
It was a new thing. But there was nothing at the Brody Ranch. It was just cattle.
But it was always known that it was going to be developed. So I've known that my whole life. I mean, since I was a kid, I knew what was going to be developed, and that is part of the development.
Were you saying that the developer sited homes so close to the traffic circle that it could not be expanded?
That's exactly right.
That's a point that was the point at which planning or the council could have said, no, move it back because we're going to need to expand.
And they didn't do that. And so what they've done is they are creating Rainier and Washington Street are going to be the truck traffic. 18-wheelers are going up and down those roads, and that's what they've created. And
so
this has been done purposeful.
The thing is, there is 18-wheelers coming through that roundabout at Sonoma Mountain Parkway in Corona.
That's right.
The way that they build it with the brick mortar stuff going in towards the center of the roundabout, those trucks just drive right over.
But that's why they're supposed to. That's how they're built.
Right.
They're built for 18-wheelers. But they could have expanded it, and they didn't, because that's what development fees are about.
So more homes, more fees, but usually the developer wants to fit more.
And that's what they did.
They could have said, no, you can have 12 fewer because we want to leave.
Or you just push it back.
No, there's no setback.
15 feet. You have a setback.
Yeah.
So you say, this is the setback. The city is going to go ahead and take this property.
Yeah.
It's the same as on D Street and Lakeville. There used to be the Pink Palace, which was a hamburger joint on the corner. And the city should have purchased that piece of property when it was for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, Basin Street bought that property. So that right-hand turn before you go over the railroad tracks, if you're going east, that is Basin Street's corner right there. The city should have purchased that because that is an important piece of property, and then you could have widened the intersection and made it safer. But instead, everybody seems to be silent. Nobody said a word, and now we have a choked-up intersection. And this is why, because the city should have done condemnation and bought that piece of property.
And we're still looking at a possibility having another smart station in that area, correct?
Well, now we're back to the east side,
And
they're looking at putting single-family homes there.
And
wasn't
it going to be right near where the Brody Ranch is?
It's on
Corona?
And the rail crossings segment the Brody property from the rail property on the corner.
So there's going to be more traffic there.
There's going to be more traffic, and they did not widen that rail crossing, and it's dangerous. And yet you're putting thousands of people in an area without a safe crossing or walking crossing, bike or pedestrian.
And we're supposed to be encouraging non-vehicle movement.
And it also goes back to what we were talking about with Measure M, the smart tax for the smart train.
Mm.
They're now talking about the bike paths are finally
going to
happen. And so from Penn Grove to Petaluma, we're going to have bike paths.
Yeah.
Now, they were supposed to follow the rail crossings, but they're not going to. And so now they're going to take it and they're going to go down McDowell. McDowell is not up to ADA standards. It's very, very dangerous, and this is the direction that we're going to be going. And so it doesn't seem as though there's a lot of foresight in planning.
That would be good, though, to have a bike path on McDowell,
because
that's crazy.
But you guys, I will take you on my McDowell tour, and you will see a lot of problems. You have to fix these ADA problems before you can put bikes on where? The road isn't wide enough. It's very dangerous.
Yeah, I wouldn't ride my bike down
there. I wouldn't.
The route will stay on city streets and bike lanes to Petaluma Boulevard South, where it will link up with a new frontage road being constructed east of Highway 101 to the Sonoma-Marin County line. Sounds kind of cool.
Well, but that's already there. Isn't that Frenchage Road there?
This is saying, according to SMART's pathway plan map, the future pathway from South Point Boulevard will terminate at Lakeville Street. From there, city bike lanes will link the route to Petaluma's Lynch Creek Trail to Water Street.
Right.
The route will stay on city streets and bike lanes to Petaluma Boulevard South, where it will link up with a new frontage road being constructed east of 101 to the Sonoma-Marin County line.
I just want to know what the safety is. Have they gone on McDowell to see how they're... I want to see the plan. But I do want to see more bike paths, and I want to see this happen.
Yeah.
Because that was part of the SMART tax.
It's going to go by Olympali State Park, so we can ride our bikes there and check out the old Grateful Dead stuff.
Yeah. You know, it burned down, so there's not much of
there's still treasures you can dig for.
Well, you know, I have to go on a private tour in there, and there are still walls that are standing that have lyrics written on them.
That's
quite different.
Cool.
No, it's pretty amazing.
There. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
We have a lot of history in this area.
We have to have a Summer of Love tour.
Well, that would be great.
You know, just bring people all these, because there's so much historic stuff happened in this area.
Yeah, I still have my leather purse from high school.
Yeah, not to get off the subject.
Yeah.
But
so we got about...
More bikes would be good.
We got about eight more minutes.
Well, okay.
Flooding?
We can... Oh, yeah, flooding. Let's talk about
here.
Flooding.
We got 8 minutes. What are we going to talk about next?
Flooding.
Oh, I know what I have to talk about. Real quick, talking about fundraisers, Joan talked about hers. We have one coming up here for KPCA, and that is a Dine and Donate night. And that will happen at Mary's Pizza on the west side. That's the one near CVS drugstore on March 6th. And so between the hours of 11 a.m. and 9 p.m., you can go in and dine, or you can get takeout, either one. And 15% of the proceeds from that will go to KPCA, which we need, people. We need money here because it does cost money to upkeep a radio station, and this is a nonprofit.
How do you become a member?
Go to pca.tv online, and you can become a member, or you just come into the station at 205 Keller Street here in Petaluma, and... Also, if you come in and become a member, you can pick up one of the flyers you'll need to do the Dine and Donate program for us. So either go to pca.tv and look up the coupon there and show that to the server when you go into the restaurant, and or come into the station, become a member, and get a flyer. Or just, you know what, come in and look at our studio. If there's anything to look at in this town, it's our lovely studio. We have a lovely studio here.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
You know, having a radio station. You know, like I say, I love my, in the little pods that I listen to, my, the iPods. I listen to that, do my exercise, and it's a lot better than sitting there watching TV.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to mention is that people say, community access radio, I don't listen to it. Well, let me tell you what happens when there's a disaster here and there is no electricity. And you're going to have to get your transistor radio out to find out what's going on. And we are...
I can find.
Yeah, we are set up to do emergency broadcasts. In fact, the FCC...
There's a generator that backs...
We have a generator. You can see, look out there on the ceiling. That's the antenna for the emergency broadcast system.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
That's good to know.
Invest in that for the community, so... Yeah, become a member. It's not that much.
That's important to know.
You just pay a dues, a small amount of money. I can't remember. There's different levels of membership.
And you can do your own show if you want.
And you can do your own show when you're a member. Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
And we don't censor here, so whatever you want to talk about.
Well,
a little.
There's still FCC guidelines.
You can't say the F word or anything like that.
Well, there's those seven words you can't say.
Yeah,
I won't say them. But George Carlin very famously talked about them.
You can say hell and damn, but that's it, you know. But except
you
the,
can
the
say,
FCC says that we can do that after hours.
I can say
like
jackass, right?
Okay.
I can say
11
jackass.
And 6,
that's
I
a type of penguin.
That's a type of...
And it's also...
A penguin, really?
Yeah, the jackass penguin.
I didn't know that.
I think they changed the name. That's what they called it when I was a kid. And then there's, of course, the donkey
thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about flooding.
So, well,
we have like about 30 seconds.
We have about 2 minutes.
Well, as we know, flooding is happening in Sonoma County again, and it's frightening, and I think it's just really important to understand why we don't really want to build in flood areas.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that people are safe, and if people are driving and if it's flooding, please don't drive if you can't see the road.
That's yep. right.
It's dangerous, and just be smart. And then we're going to talk about Highway 37 and that flooding.
Yeah,
but
that's
I can
flooded
still,
right now. Westbound's closed.
Yes, exactly.
At Atherton.
Yeah. And so I guess that's for another
yep.
discussion.
It was a bad week here. Russian yep. River and Napa River both went
yeah.
to flood stage.
Yep.
So be careful, people. And what else?
Stay dry.
Stay dry. And while you're in the house doing nothing on these rainy days, go to our website at InsidePetaluma.com where you can listen to any of our past shows or... just peruse us. We're in the midst of updating the website, or actually not updating. We're young. We're a young show, so
we're trying to get
it's
it together.
Evolving.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
evolving
it's
and
work
and
in progress.
Yeah, so you know it's a work in progress, and but you know InsidePetaluma.com is going to be the hot new website to look at someday.
You're right. That
more people are looking at it
yeah.
every week.
We have a KPCA Inside Petaluma is our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. And you can get to all those links just by going to InsidePetaluma.com.
Yeah.
So if you remember nothing else, just
yeah.
remember that.
Yeah. Oh, we also have links on there to
yes.
different guests' websites.
Yes, we do.
We've had on the show. So
I will say a tip for the day. I was driving 2 days ago on Washington Street, and this is Keller Street, right up, and there was an accident. And so I witnessed the accident, and the good thing is I had flares in my car. Grab my flare, because the whole intersection was stopped because of this accident.
You should always carry gloves in your car, too, in case you need to help somebody and they're bleeding.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I used to work in a hospital.
Well, no, I believe I'm a dental hygienist.
I know. But you don't
have to.
Yeah, you don't think about that. All right, so...
And Joan, thank you for coming
yes,
on.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me. Schoenberg.
Come to the show. February 25th, Monday, 5 p.m.
Go to Mary's Pizza, March 6th, 11 to 9. So
yes.
We are out. So have a good weekend, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.